the general manager of the Edmonton Oilers, who gets set to take on the Chicago Blackhawks tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Ken Holland joins us. Ken, welcome back to the show. It is it's quite a time in hockey. What for a guy who's pretty much seen everything? I guess this is one thing you haven't seen. What's your expectations and how different, if anything, the playoffs are going to be this year?
Hey, Jason, you know, certainly it's strange. I mean, nobody's ever dealt with anything like this before, but, you know, in talking to Dave Tippett and to some of our players, I think, you know, I think when the game is going on, it's a game. They're focused on the game. I think warm-ups are a bit strange when you're warming up in a quiet building and there's no fans. And then, you know, the timeouts, the stoppages during the game, you know, you're used to hearing fans. But, you know, when the game is going on, they're focused on the action. And I think everybody's excited. I think everybody, you know, it's been almost five months since, you know, middle of March, since our league paused. And I think everybody's excited to get on the ice. I know our team is very excited and anxious to play a meaningful game.
Ken, now, outside of being a GM, you love scouting. Right, you have amateur scouting, pro scouting, everything. So, will you watch as many games live? Like, are you going to be watching the Calgary Winnipeg game tomorrow night after your game, and then, you know, three games in the Edmonton bubble on Sunday? Will you be live for all of them? Is this like a hockey scout's dream?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen every game live here in our hub. You know, all the exhibition games. To this point in time. So yeah, I plan tomorrow night. We play here at 1 o'clock, and then I'll go back and there'll be a post game meal with the team. And I want to catch the game on TV, Pittsburgh, Montreal, I think at 6 o'clock our time. And then I'll come back here to watch Calgary, Winnipeg live. So I do plan on seeing, you know what, it's a unique opportunity. You've got 12 NHL teams here under one roof. There's going to be two, three games every day. All this week, it's going to be a great opportunity to see all the other teams and you know, see, watch lots of players. So yes, I'm going to take full advantage of this opportunity.
Now, speaking of scouting and players, I have to ask you about Jesse Puljujärvi. I know that you and Dave Tippett had a conference call with him. He in a Finnish newspaper said it went very well, and kind of seemed to said he'd grown up, in his words, and, you know, felt like maybe he'd come back. Was the conversation you had with him different than a year ago? Do you feel more confident in that he'll show up whenever next season begins?
Yeah, you know, a year ago when I met with him, he was in Edmonton. Actually, I became manager in May. He was in Edmonton in June. He had hip impingement surgery, and he was here for a week to see the doctors. I met with him one-on-one, and he made it pretty clear in that meeting, and then subsequently thereafter, whenever I talked to his agent, Marcus Leto, he also made it clear, you know, going back to last summer, that Jesse didn't have any interest in playing for the Edmonton Oilers. And I, you know, last week, 10 days ago, Dave Tippett and I got a Zoom call with Marcus Leto and Jesse. And I he's certainly talking a different tone. And Marcus Leto and I have had 2-3 conversations over the course of the last 10 days, plan to talk again. And, you know, we'll see where it goes.
It's amazing how things change, and that you were patient right from the get-go. You said, hey, you know what, he'll go over there, and if he has to, he has to. Like, you look at just his confidence as a player, right? Like, it would have been hard for him, even in Edmonton, to come in right away and have confidence with the puck. Right? You've scouted for years, Ken. I've talked to you. Like, if players don't have confidence, it doesn't matter how good you think they can be, they're likely not going to be that good. So when you watched his game, and I don't know how many games you watched, but did you see Puljujärvi maybe being a little bit more of the player that a lot of people thought he was going to be when he was drafted back in 2016?
Well, I said to him on the conference call, I think probably when he looks back, you know, 10 years from now, that playing in the Finnish Elite League this past season is going to be a good thing, not a bad thing. And I, you know, you've hit it. I mean, he's still a young player. He's 22 years of age, dealing with, you know, the high expectations, and things didn't work out. And, you know, you're a young person, and for probably the first time in his life, dealing with some real you know, professional adversity in terms of how to deal with, you know, you're not playing on the first line, you're not playing on the first power play, and how do you deal with that? And I think an opportunity to go back home and be an important guy of a professional hockey team. He was in the top five scorers in the league. He played. I went to a tournament in Russia at Christmas time, and I watched Jesse play twice for the team Finland, and there was the Czechs, the Swedes, the Finns, and the Russians. He's playing on a men's national team, played regular, you know, played in the power play. I think that this past year is probably going to be really good in the development of Jesse. Now, I don't really know, you know, I just got here and I didn't really scout him in his draft class, you know, where the Red Wings were picking. We knew that he was going to be gone, so I haven't really sat on him as a player. But you know, it's hard to find 6'4" players that have skill and accomplish the things that he had accomplished at a young age. So you know, that's the gist of our conversation. Obviously, we're trying to build a team here that can legitimately compete for the Stanley Cup. There's great opportunities. 22 years of age, he's still really relatively a young player. We put so much expectations on these 18 and 19 year olds, and the reality is most players really start to, you know, 22, 23, 24 before they're able to really live up to those expectations. So he's really just coming of age. So it's a great opportunity here in Edmonton.
Ken Holland, general manager of the Edmonton Oilers, joins us. Ken, now we get back to the playoffs. And your team, you know, before March, the stoppage, you had the fifth most points, fifth best points percentage, second most goals in the NHL, at 10th best goals against. Your power play was great, your penalty kill. Like, your team had really rebounded from just an awful December. Like, you've been around a long time. Have you seen a team turn it around from as bad as they were in December to then becoming one of the top five teams for the next 2.5 months?
Well, you know, Jason, I thought, you know, that we come out of the gate 7-2-1. We were on a road trip. We bonded. We were in New York for 5 or 6 days, and we played in Jersey and New York and against the Rangers and the Islanders. We got out of the gate 5-0. We 7-2-1. I think everybody was excited. You know, we were bonding. There was new coach, new general manager, and then the next 30 games we played one game under 500. And really, if we continued at that pace over the next 10 or 20 games, we were going to slowly probably work ourselves out of the playoff picture. And I thought, you know, at Christmas time, you know, when we called up, or just after Christmas, we called up Kyler Yamamoto. And Dave Tippett made the decision to break up Connor and Leon and put them on separate lines. We became a harder team to match up against. We had offense from two different lines. If you shut down one line, the other line would rebound. Throughout the year, I think we were top five in special teams, in both special teams, first in the power play, second or third in the penalty killing. So our special teams have been good all year. And I just thought that we went on a really important road trip in early January. We played in Buffalo, in Boston, in Toronto, in Montreal, and in Calgary. And I think we went 3-1-1 on that trip, got 7 out of 10 points against really good teams. And we came home. And from that point on, from December the 31st, when we beat the Rangers 6-5, strange game, up 6-0, and they made it 6-5, and we hung on at the end. But we started to really feel good about ourselves and believe that we were a good team, and we had a really really good record from December the 31st up until March 11th. And I think that we were growing, we were really growing as a team and finding an identity. And I thought that on an every night basis we were competitive. We got good goaltending, and so we were all disappointed when we had the pause on March 11th, because I think everybody was excited about playing our way into the playoffs and to see what we could accomplish in the playoffs. And fortunately, they've the NHL, the NHLPA, and everybody have found a solution to come back into this hub setup. And we're excited about the opportunity to play against Chicago. Now, they beat us 2 out of 3 during the regular season, twice in Chicago. We won the game here in Edmonton. They're a veteran team with Taze and Kane and Crawford and Duncan Keith. So they got 3 Stanley Cups in their rearview mirror not that long ago. So we were playing against a veteran team that have also got some really good young kids with Kirby Dock and DeBrinket. So we know that we're up against a real good hockey team that feels good about themselves, and but we feel good about ourselves, and we're looking forward here, in the next 8 days, best of five. It's gonna happen quick. It starts tomorrow afternoon, so we're excited about the opportunity.
Ken Holland joins us. Ken, experience gets brought up a lot, and I'm curious what your thoughts on it, because you're right. The Hawks, they got five guys who have won at least two cups, and three of them have won three cups, but they haven't won a playoff series in the last 5 years. How long does experience last in your mind, or is it more going to be like, at certain just key moments of the game, maybe the experience from those players matters? Like, do you have any idea, having watched it, like how much experience can play, this many years out?
Well, I think experience is, personally, this is my personal, I think experience is always a good thing. It's not a, unless you can't move, but certainly the players that I've talked about are still, if you look at the years that they all had, they individually had pretty good years. So, I think it's a factor. I think our guys have been through 2 years, 3 years ago, they went through the San Jose and the Anaheim series, so that we do have some experience. We brought in, obviously James Neal's coming in. We signed Mike Smith. We brought in some, Riley Sheehan and Archibald. We've got some experience on our roster. So I think experience is a factor, but I think, at the end of the day, we got to be in these games. I think that's what I talked about in May. We wanted to get into March. And for me personally, when the calendar turned the 1st of March, I wanted to know that we were in the race. We could control our own fate. And now you got to go out and you got to do it. And that's what sports is. And then if you're able to make the playoffs, then you get into a first round and you got to do it all over again. And then you got to do it all over again. And then you got over the course of four playoff series. So over 71 games, we played at a high level. We put ourselves in this position. That experience is a good thing. We feel good about ourselves. Now we got an opportunity. We got to do it again this week. And Chicago's trying to do the same thing as we are. But certainly, I think the experience, the 71 games we were building as a team. Dave Tippett come in and did got our guys to buy into the system, and they bought in. They dug in, and so. I think that those experiences are going to be beneficial for us here this week. And if we're able to find a way to win this series, you use that going forward. It's a constant evolution of an athlete, of a team, trying to build your team, and we want to be in these situations, we want to be in these games, and we want to find ways to succeed.
Ken Holland joins us, general manager of the Oilers. Ken, you're one of the few GMs who knows the goaltending position intimately, having played there, so you probably can scout it a little bit better than most of us. To me, it's sometimes like, I don't even know what I'm looking at, like kind of jokingly. But Mikko Koskinen and Mike Smith, it's a great problem to have. When you look at the goalies, and like, are you kind of fascinated just by how that will play out? Dave Tippett said he expects both to play at some point, but how important do you think who the starter is for game one ultimately is going to be?
It's going to be important because it's a big game, and you're not going to, unless you get good goaltending, you're not going to go very far. And I would say to you that goaltending was one of our strengths this year. I thought Dave Tippett and Dustin Schwartz did a great job early in the year. They decided to play one guy two games, and then the other guy two games, and then two games and two games. So they had a bit of a rhythm, two games, but they didn't get overtaxed. And then I over the course of the next, 2-3 months, Dave would kind of ride the hot guy for five or six games, but he never left the other guy out too long. Like, I thought Dave and Dustin did a great job in keeping both goalies involved, keep both goalies sharp. They both felt part of it, and goaltending was a strength of our hockey team. So certainly, whoever he announces as the starter for game one, it's important, because it's a best of five series, and game one is important. But if we're going to go on a long run, which we're hoping and planning, there's a good chance that we're going to need we could use both of them. Now, you know, there's sometimes a guy gets hot and gets dialed in, and you ride him. That's a good thing. And you're only going with one goalie. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. But we think that either goalie can get hot, that we can ride either of our two guys for a long stretch of time. And if somewhere along the line we need somebody comes off it, or he gets hurt, or to win this thing, we're going to have to win five playoff rounds. You're going to have to win 19 games. It's never in the history of the NHL have you had to win 19 playoff games to win the Stanley Cup. So it's a long haul, and we're going to need more than six defensemen. We're going to need more than 12 forwards, and we're probably going to need more than one goalie. We're going to dip into our depth if we're going to go for a long haul. So having two guys at the position that we believe in, that we believe we can win, that can carry us, I think it's a real advantage and a real benefit to our team.
Ken Holland joins us. Now, Ken, I don't expect you to tell me who it is, although that'd be great, but do you know right now who is starting tomorrow in goal?
I do. I'm not going to tell you. I mean, I guess up to Dave Tip, but I think Tip's coaching, and if Tip wants to tip his hand, that's up to him. But yes, I do know.
Okay. Are you a fan at that point? Like, are you kind of waiting? So, hey, Tip, who's starting? How's that conversation go? Like, are you that excited still this many years in to try to find out who the starting goalie is?
Yeah, I guess, you know, obviously I want to know what's going on with our team, but I also want the coaches to, you know, I don't go down and influence them. If they ask me my opinion, I'll give them my opinion. When game one is over tomorrow and we go to the post-game meal, you know, we'll sit around a table, we'll talk, and at the appropriate time, if somebody, you know, I'll weigh in and give my opinion. But ultimately, line combinations, who's dressing, who's not dressing, who's playing, who's the goalie, that's what I've hired Dave Tippett. He's put together his staff to make those decisions. Now, I sit up in a perch. I've watched, you know, I don't know, 1,500 games, and I've watched, I don't know, 250 playoff games. So, you know, certainly I can put my experience and give them my opinion, but I don't want to – they've got to make their – Dave Tippett and his people, his coaching staff have to coach the team. So, you know, I see my role as a guy that I'm watching whenever they need my opinion or want my opinion, I'll weigh in. I'm certainly anxious to watch our team and our players, how we're going to play and react. And I know that the off season is in October, and 2021 starts in, right now the plan is in the middle of November with training camp. So it's going to be a quick off season. So I'm going to use this opportunity to evaluate our team, our players, to try to figure out how we can make our team better and different in the off season. At the same time, I'm going to use this opportunity to go watch the other 11 teams in the Western Conference, watch them play live, look at all their teams, look at their players, and get a read and gather information for whatever decisions I need to make down the road.
Ken, you've been in the bubble now for 5 days. How's bubble life? What did you bring in to pass the time for you while you're inside?
Well, I think they've done a great job. You know, you feel safe. Obviously, number one is to create an environment that we can play hockey games and we could keep COVID out into this. They've done a great job. You feel safe. You're tested every day. There's been everything that I hear. There's been nothing. There's been no positive. Everything's negative. There's no lines. You come across the, you know, from Rogers, and there's lines there. That we got set times every day for our testing. It takes you 3 minutes to get tested. If a game starts at 8:30 over here tomorrow night, I can leave my room at, you know, 8:00, and 8:07 I could be in, and 8:20 and be there for the drop of puck. And if I want to come across to watch warm up, I can, you know, 5 minutes before warm up you come over. So it's easy getting around. Food has been good. I think it's a great environment. I think all, you know, talking, there's other teams, I think, and talking, bumping into other managers and people that I know around the industry. Everybody is excited about, you know, playoff hockey starting tomorrow. So it's been great.
Do you play crib, Ken?
You know what? I've come over every day. I watch our team practice. I do play crib. I do play cards, but I don't really have anybody to play. You know, I'm not going to play with the players. The players have got their own thing going. And the coaches have got, you know, Dave Tippett and his people, they're working at preparing for practice. They're looking at videos at Chicago. I have dinner. I've supper pretty well with our coaching staff every night. And then I've come across again, you know, yesterday I come over and watched the afternoon game. We then had a team meal at 6 o'clock. I came back at 8:40 to watch the night game last night. Tomorrow I'll come over. I'll watch us play at 1:00. I'll go back for the post game meal. I'll watch Montreal Pittsburgh on TV at 8:00, and I'll come back at 10:30 to watch Calgary, Winnipeg live. And then I plan to watch probably 3 games here on Sunday. So it's not like I got a lot of time to play crib. It's pretty well hockey most of the day.
Now, when you're watching all these games, Ken, do you have like a big binder? Are you taking notes, or is it just up in your head? Like, how does it work for you when you're watching that many games? What's kind of your protocol as you're watching the games? Are you jotting notes, or sometimes you're just watching?
Well, I have a book there. I guess lots of what I do is in my head. I've also got Archie Henderson, our director of pro scouting. He's got our pro scouts. They have games assigned, and they're doing video scouting. So they're
okay.
They've got a game. So tomorrow, you know, we've made it so that all our pro scouts can watch the Edmonton Oilers games. I mean, they want to root for our team. They want to watch our team. So he's making sure that every one of our scouts can watch the Oilers games, and then other games around it. They've got assigned games. They watch it and they're putting in reports. I'm going to, I got my notepad there. I'm not making notes on all 20 players, but some players for some teams. There's some players that, you know, that, you know, whether they might be UFA or they might be, you know, whether the UFA this off season or a season from now, you make some notes. Basically I would say to you, I think when coaches scout, they're scouting teams and systems. As a manager, I'm scouting individual players. I'm looking at individual players and making notes on individual players. So, you know, I think there's, you know, when our coaching staff goes over there, they're analyzing how teams kill penalties and how they power play and how do they play in the neutral zone, and they're trying to get systems related, because that's what they do from a coaching standpoint. My job as a manager is to, you know, build a 23-man roster, and then let the coach take it over from there. Try to give the coach as many dimensions on the roster as you can, and then the coach figure out how best to put all those pieces together to create a team that wins. So I'm evaluating individual players, watching individual players, and some of the players obviously I've talked to my pro scouts. In May we had our year-end pro meetings by Zoom, and we had, I think, 4 or 5 hours every day for 5 days. We went through all the teams. So now, you know, I've got those notes, and I can watch some of these other players play live that normally lots of these players I wouldn't get a chance to see play live unless the Edmonton Oilers are playing against them. So this is a wonderful opportunity for me.
Ken, I always appreciate your time. Best of luck starting tomorrow in the play-in round, the playoffs, whatever we're calling it, but it'll be fun when the puck drops at 1 o'clock. Appreciate your time.
Thanks. Any dope time. Thank you, time. Thanks, Jason.